This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Yo, Mike, here we go.
What you got?
It's a PR campaign that started. All right, before we get to that, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's good to have you listening. If you're going, Dukes, what the hell are you talking about?
What the hell are you talking about?
Mike, it's a PR campaign. Our buddy at WSB, Zach Klein, reporting.
Hold your breath.
That Kirk Cousins is there today, Mike, and it's an involuntary workout. This is not mandatory.
Yes.
The vets are not required to be there.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
But yet Kirk Cousins apparently is there. And, Mike, why would he show up?
Bonus. I presume there's a roster. There's a bonus of some sort. It's the only thing that motivates this man is money. And Randy McMichael brought it up earlier. In some cases, it's X amount of dollars for 90 days or whatever the percentage is, Carl, of all the workouts, voluntary or involuntary.
Wait a minute. Are you saying this isn't sincere? It's not from the heart that he showed up at Flowery Branch today?
Money, money, money. That's all it's about, man. So Kirk, he checks another box on that contract and he gets paid.
I don't like it. But here's the other part about it. People like you that are listening, our wonderful listeners, are going to hear this and go, well, see, he ain't that bad of a dude. He doesn't have to be there, Mike. You're always saying he's a bad guy. He showed up at involuntary workouts.
No, it's there are, and Randy explained it earlier today on Andy Rende, that there's involuntary, voluntary. But there's a contract, generally there's a stipulation for some guys, Randy said, it's anywhere from 90% and up to the event, basically all the things you attend. So whether it's this time of the year or later this spring, he's going to be there because it makes sure he gets paid.
Wait a minute. Didn't he get a $10 million bonus just about, I don't know, a month or so ago?
That's right. There's some extra loot in there, too.
Either way, he's there. And for everybody saying that he may not be on this team, I still will tell you that he'll be here at least until June 1st or right after, whatever the circumstances are when it comes to post-June 1 cuts. But again, I still think they're going to try to trade him. And that may happen this week. Having some fun with this. And Kirk Cousins, we'd love to hear from you. By the way, you can call 404-726-0929. Orrin will put you right through.
Going into someone's trap and trying to take over there.
Because I would love to know, Mike, the motivation behind this. If it's just money.
Well, are we really going to have the $45 million man as the most expensive backup in NFL history? Is he going to be on this roster after June 1? Is he going to be on this roster after July 1st? After August 1st when we're in camp? Because right now he's just doing everything that's asked of him with his current contract because he's under contract.
He is.
But I'm with you. I don't know. I wonder, and I said this to you a few times, do some players even give a flip that Kirk Cousins did what he did, said what he said? Does it move the meter one way or the other? Do they not care? They're all behind Michael Penix Jr. Heaven forbid something happens to Penix. You got a guy in Kirk Cousins who you know can step in.
The only reason I think I would care if I was a player is you've wasted another one of my seasons. That's the only reason why I would care. I don't care about the money. Everybody get your money. Nobody in a locker room is going to cry about anybody getting paid or overpaid because of the profession you've chosen. But the one thing I do say is, Mike, as I prepare my body, if I was a professional athlete every year and trying to get to a Super Bowl, whether I knew we were good enough or not, you've just taken another year away from me because you cheated us by going out on the field and knowing you were injured and weren't able to do the things you needed to do. Having an injury, guys, and playing with it on an offensive or defensive line, that's different because the ball is not in your hands every play. Doing that as a quarterback changes the outcome of games, and that's what we saw with Kirk Cousins when he threw 9 picks over a 5-week period. So, yeah, that's me. I don't know, Mike. You're right. I don't know if anybody else feels that way if you ask these guys on this team.
I mean, as I said, as a fan, or we all, like all of us that are listening, whether you it stopped at elementary school, junior high, college, whatever, we've all competed at some level. We've all had teammates. And in some sports, Carl, when you have a longer season, a teammate is a bond, and you're a guy, you got his back, he's got your back, and there's a way you conduct yourself. And to sit there and say you weren't hurt after you told everybody, you know, that no, I'm fine. And then you come back and say, oh, no, I was. Now, again, I've always said to you that people in that film room after any game, pick one, the Chargers, probably guys looking around that room rolling their eyes after the Raiders game, certainly. And that's when the coach decided to go with our young quarterback and Michael Penix Jr. But, I mean, tape don't lie. These guys know when somebody's either not able to do the job at a high level, how you handle it, I wonder if that matters in this Falcon locker room. I think we got a strong culture. They like Coach Raw. They like Kirk Cousins.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Just an interesting tidbit as we move along and get ready for the draft on Thursday. Plenty of draft conversation coming your way. We're going to talk to our buddy Ross Tucker coming up here at 3 o'clock and get his take on all the things that we've been talking about and certainly that are looming when it comes to Thursday night, the first round. Meanwhile, the Braves have a win streak. I'll repeat that. Braves have a 4-game win streak. They'll try to make it 5 tonight. And Mike Bell, Sean Murphy, coming through again. 3-run home run, 5-run eighth inning last night. Riley's been raking, and I brought this up yesterday going into the weekend. He's been on one, and that continues as Riley was 2-for-3 with 2-run home run as well. I just feel like the guys that we need to hit, again, the middle of this lineup, are hitting. And when you're doing that consistently and you're coming up clutch, man, you're going to win games. And that's what we saw last night.
I know that it's never going to be as bad as it looked 0-7 to start this season. I think, you know, a lot of guys, Brett Boone, give him credit, came on our show, our Odyssey Baseball Insider, and said, guys, you got to relax. Everybody in Atlanta, just chill because it's you're too good. And we actually said, it's funny because guys go, stop with saying the baseball card stuff. Well, it is getting back to being their baseball card. You know, Murphy is actually exceeding expectations. You know, now that I think he's back at the bottom or lower in the lineup, Michael Harris is doing better. Verdugo's been a shot in the arm. You know, now, granted, it is just a crazy Brave season when we find out this nonsense about Spencer Strider drawn out by hamstring, having a catch. And so he gets, unfortunately, to stretch. And now we have, what, a bullpen start, you know, sort of ipso facto today. But that aside, I think this team's going to be okay. We'll be really something when we start playing the Mets head-to-head. We start making some ground on this this deficit right now in the division.
So the only thing that you might concern yourself with is how Raisel Iglesias is looking.
Nervous in the service, man.
4 home runs given up. He gave up 4 total last year, and we've already gotten to that total. He gave up 3 runs in the 9th. Are you concerned about that? And here's the deal. The Cards are not a good road team right now. They've not been. They're 1-10 on the road this season. So, you know, we're taking advantage of the opportunity, certainly, and we're playing better than we have been. I'm going to let you hear from Brian Snicker and Money Harris coming up, and also Spencer Schwellenbach. As he pitched last night. But, yeah, I just think, Mike, if you're saying, all right, things seemingly are coming together, but the closer, I'm still concerned about that.
Well, he doesn't have electric stuff. And, like, I mean, the reason guys are saying, well, why does Snicker stay with him? Because he warmed up. Because as the inning progressed, and obviously they don't expect him to put a 5 spot up, Carl, in the 8th. That's why he was up. And so they said, well, he's warm, let's go. And then he's just been shaky as heck. And you know with closers, sometimes they go through these little, you know, we have patches where they're rough. And then in this case, I just don't trust the guy. Statistically, he was one of the better closers last year in baseball, and you can't deny it. But he always makes me nervous every time that door opens.
Well, last night,
Kimbrel, by the
nervous.
Way, is down in the minors. Kimbrel's sorry to cut you off. Kimbrel's down in the minors, and he's doing some good stuff against Double A. I think he is now a setup man. He's not the closer, so table that emotion, Braves fans. You're stuck with Iglesias.
Yeah, he just got promoted to AAA. As a matter of fact, that's Orm saying that. But you know what, Mike? I feel like, okay, if he can come help us, I just don't have any expectation for Craig Kimbrel. And you know, again, this isn't 10 years ago. It's been that long, guys. I know it seems like it was yesterday, but it's been that long for Braves fans who have been following this thing. But if he can come and give us anything, so be it. Yes, Iglesias is your closer. But again, hopefully this is a stretch where he's figuring it out. It's not necessarily, you know, anything except for me, location. And where he's putting these pitches is not where he wants to put them, and obviously you're playing professional hitters. So 3 runs in the 9th. But outside of that, man, Braves look good yesterday. The Strider thing is frustrating because, you know, he should be going tonight, and that's not going to be the case. But here's the other good news. When you talk about the Cardinals and this Braves offense, 23 home runs, Mike, in the past 13 games. All of a sudden now, we're fourth in the NL. And that was an area where we weren't even doing anything as this season started. So as the home runs have come, what has come? Runs. That's been the key.
Right, and that's how they won. I mean, guys, it's pretty simple. You know, when you don't like some of these at-bats with the Braves with the launch angle and you wonder what the hitting coach is doing, they're like everybody else in the show. I mean, they're winning and dying, and the Braves have always been like that, going back to Bobby Cox. I mean, it's you win with the home run. They've got to have it. You know, I mean, we don't really create runs like you. I mean, you can, but they don't really do that, Carl. So when it comes down to Murphy doing his thing, I mean, that rocket line drive shot into the visitor's bullpen, that was great. Austin Riley going yard, but that's great to see. And if they continue that, and don't you always feel that hitting's contagious and a slump is contagious? It sure looked like to start the season.
It is. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let you hear Austin Riley here in a second. Let's hear from Snit. Sean Murphy, we said, and I was saying, I think he's going to be better than he was last year. He's already been better than he was last year. And Snit said last night after the game, Murphy said as much to the club.
Before we activated him, he was here, you know, I think it was with that rain out and everything. We're like, the heck with it. We'll just... And he goes, this is not going to be like last year. It's a different injury. I'm a different guy. You know, and he assured us. He's like, I'm going to be better than I was.
Okay.
And that's cool because you and I said it. You always say the guys hear all the criticisms and the critiques and they read it. And certainly, like, we gave him, and deservedly so, we gave him his share. He signed a pretty good-sized contract with the Braves, and he's got to be better. And I think, you know, coming off the injury, and that was the last thing he needed, getting a rib injury down in spring training, but he certainly looks like he's in the sweet spot right now. And more than anything else, he doesn't look like he's lost at the plate. He's got his confidence back.
It helps. Sean Murphy, 3-run home run last night. Again, a 5-run eighth inning. Let me hear from Austin Riley, who admits, look, this beats the alternative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously started a rally and you know, we were to get five there. And I mean, that's us. 4 in a row, I mean, good start to the series. You know, just try to keep building momentum.
So, yeah, just to keep on trucking, guys. Beat the Cardinals. Get another series under your belt. It's good to see. And all of a sudden, you know, the Phillies, by the way, they've lost a bunch of games. Mets are still doing pretty well. But the division is kind of hitting a little bit of an equilibrium. We're 6.5 out as we stand. The one concern, and you started the conversation with it, you got a closer with an ERA of 6. Not good. Okay, so he needs to tighten that up, or you can add that to the list of things that the GM will have to go shopping for at the trade deadline.
Let's hope not. I feel like we've already got enough on the shopping list to start talking about what we might want to do at the trade deadline. You guys can find us, guys. Mike Bell, ATL. That's Mike on social media. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Coming up, we put up an interesting poll yesterday about Trae Young. We will dive into this because life searching for a new general manager. Landry Fields is no longer making the decisions that will affect the impact of what this team's going to look like. And also, you know, the Young situation, and Mike and I were talking about this before the show. This is going to be, whether you like it or not, an ongoing storyline throughout the course of the offseason, Mike. I don't care if the Hawks, the only way this changes, please let it, is if somehow, Mike, we get the ping pong ball to fall our favor with the slim odds we have, and all of a sudden now we get the number one over. Probably not going to happen.
It's funny, watching that Celtic City, if you guys don't have HBO, it's been great on Boston, but how many times they really thought they had it, and mathematically, statistically, they did, and they didn't get it. And a couple of times as they were trying to reset with this team in those 20 years in the wilderness, you know, after their last championship. But it is funny. I mean, we had Reece Hoshea. Yes, some people say it was the down year. Obviously, Wemby was the year, but we love Reece Hoshea. There's probably some other guys in this draft, but they're going to be pretty good. But, I mean, you've got a guy in Flag who's going to reset somebody's franchise. Cooper Flagg is going to go somewhere and going to put them on the map. For NBA fans, with all due respect, you hope it isn't some backwater like Sacramento.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean.
Utah has the best odds. What if he ends up in Utah? Is he going to be hitting up there?
After our conversation with George Yang. Well, I mean, I don't know where Cooper's from. Maine. Maybe Maine to Utah. There is no difference.
Probably not. I mean, for years.
Less lobster rolls, but listen, you get the point.
Karl Malone and Stockton, they were great together, but you didn't watch Stockton and Malone until the playoffs rolled around. You weren't staying up late watching Utah games.
Then again, not many brothers drive 18-wheelers as a hobby.
Well, that's true, too. But he is from Louisiana, so, hey, you can take the country, the boy out the country, but you can't take the country out the boy. Hey, we're coming back, man. We've got something else that happened today that we got to tell you about. Also, Ross Tucker is going to stop by at 3 o'clock. He does a Ross Tucker podcast. Great NFL mind. Played in the league as well. We'll take his opinions and shake it up with him about the NFL draft starting Thursday. It's Dukes and Bell.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You heard that right in the update. Joe Patrick talking about the reports out there with Kirk Cousins being up at Flowery Branch. Involuntary workouts, I mean, again. But it's just interesting.
Is he going to have a catch with Easton Stick?
Who knows? It's funny to me in the way that, look, fine. If he feels obligated and Mike said it, if there's money attached to it, okay, great. But if you really want out and you had a meeting with the owner, you don't show up for Jack. You don't do – guys, I'm going to tell you this if you don't know already. He's rich.
Right.
He doesn't need to show up just for an extra a chunk of change. Mike, if you really want out and you were talking to the owner a few months ago when Arthur Blank said he was on the phone with him for an hour, you don't show up for anything. That's my guess.
Unless he's just trying to be a good soldier and then reinforcing the message of Terry and Raheem that they're prepared to take him on through the summer and be on the team. And they're prepared because they had this in the budget.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. So, stupidest thing in the whole world. Anyway, but yeah, guys, there are some parts to the contract. And the bonuses, they do range. Sometimes they're as small as $10,000 to $30,000. Sometimes they're more, depending on the NFL player's contract, even for something like this. And yes, one thing we do know, he does matter. His money does matter. But yeah, I don't understand why. I agree. I wouldn't in a million years have expected him to be here for this.
All right, more on that coming up, because that's an interesting thing. That's something we did not expect to be talking about today. Hey, man, I'd love to hear from you guys. Our poll question yesterday got a lot of response, and rightfully so, about whether you would trade Trae Young or not. After what is this, Mike? Now 3 years in the play-in? Three?
Yeah, three in a row.
You guys said 65% of you said no. 35% of you said yes. We're going to discuss this coming up in less than 10 minutes from now. Stay tuned for that. Ross Tucker's on the way in the 3 o'clock hour, and more Braves conversation on the way. By the way, Big O's behind the glass, our engineer and Day-Day executive producing here on Dukes and Bell. Big O, man, let's get to the daily download.
Story number one.
Mike, what did you think of Schwelly last night, by the way?
Yeah, a lot of guys got on base, but he handled his business. I thought that was a pretty strong outing for him. And I think if you're the Braves, especially, you know, the last time, the third time around up in Toronto, they seemed like they teed off on Schwelly a little bit. Yeah. So this was a much stronger outing. But as we said, he did have to deal with guys on base a lot last night. There were 8 hits, 2 earned runs, but he struck out 5. But pitch count was manageable. I thought it was a strong outing.
I did, too. Here's what he said, by the way, about his outing and how he approached it.
I don't know. I think just being a competitor in sports my whole life, just hate losing more than I like winning. And I think that's just, you know, it's kind of just dug into me ever since a kid, playing in the yard with my brothers and sister and, you know, getting beat up and, you know, just understanding what it takes to win and doing everything I can to do that.
Talking about his competitive fire. Look, I want more guys that hate losing more than winning because that's going to drive you. But he got some help last night. And again, we can talk about the pitching all we want. When we're not scoring runs, which has kind of been the case with us the earlier part of the season, you're not going to win a lot. Last night, he got run support, including Austin Riley coming up big with a 2-run homer.
Austin Riley hits it high. Austin Riley hits it deep. And this ball game is tied. A majestic, towering shot from Austin Riley.
That was big.
Good stuff, man. And look, it was cool to see them come back the way they did. The clutch. That's the thing. Early on in this season, we were all freaking out. And I understand why, because we looked just god-awful dead in the water. There was no clutch. There was nobody with runners in scoring position knocking anybody in. Now that's starting to happen. And by the way, Marcell Ozuna, we were worried about him coming back from, you know, he was day-to-day. He has hit the ground running as well, as he is 3 for his last 6 last 2 games.
Yeah. And by the way, the whole Acuña fallout, we talked a lot about this yesterday, the Kelnick thing. Mike, the team's moved on, but people are still talking about it.
Well, like I said, you know, it's a standard. There's a standard of baseball. You're expected to be professional. And it's just weird how these things, and this is just strictly from the fan base, nothing to do with the organization. Just some of the interactions we get with obviously very strong baseball fans. They listen to a sports talk show. But it's almost like they resent Ronald Acuña. I don't understand it. I mean, you picked up on this back in 18 and 19. Yeah, man, is a different new Jack baseball player the last 5 or 6 or even more years. You know, it started, you could argue if you want to say Manny being Manny, whoever the guy is. But as long as you get the results done and you get the effort and you get the win, yes, once in a while they'll do something which makes you roll your eyes. But then some guys don't give a crap about it.
Mm.
But the thing is, if you do something that makes you roll your eyes, it's got to be good for the 11th guy on the roster, as it is for the number one guy on the roster. That means Kelnick I'm referring to. So the only way I would just give a benefit of the doubt to Snicker and the coaching staff is Brian is getting older and he just doesn't care. Now, I don't mean he doesn't care about winning. He just wasn't going to go all ham on Kelnick for a stupid mistake. but as you pointed out, Eric Young, and if Wash is in there, they'd be riding his butt when he got back in the dugout.
Somebody. Yeah, man. Look. And I heard this too, you know, why did Acuña have to go on social media
right
to address this? He's in Florida. Why couldn't he call the manager? He did what most of us do. He reacted in the moment. Like, you want Acuña to do the things that you feel like would have, I don't know, Mike, lessened the blow of what right took place. And the reality is, Acuña's probably watching the game just like we are. That takes place. And he's like, whoa, homie, wait a minute. If that was me, they ain't taking me out. And he addressed it, I know, in someone else's post. But the fact of the matter is, it happened.
Right.
Whether he addressed it or not, it still happened.
Yeah. Look, it's 6 years later. And as I said, guys, we see it every day in all walks of life, how vindictive people are, how people don't forget slights. And Ronald certainly didn't forget that slight. That's his prerogative. And like so many folks, you're quick to anger. My hand goes up. You realize, you know what? Bad idea. Let me delete that. And that's all that happened. But it still doesn't, I mean, but this is something I have a hard time with some Braves fans. There's a double standard. It's not a double standard because you don't like Ronald Acuña.
Uh-oh.
That's why. You don't have Ronald Acuña's back, but you've got a journeyman, because that's what Kelnick is now. You got his back? What does that say about your fandom? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's fair, man. It's not over for us. 404-726-0929 is the number. You can hit us up. Look, I'm glad.
I mean, what are you, Bob Feller? These Caribbean players don't know the rules of the game.
I'm glad we're winning. That's all I really care about. Acuña's going to come back. He's going to contribute to this team.
Right.
But the idea, like, you know, oh, you're throwing your manager under the bus. Not really.
But I do get a kick out of, you know, it's funny, we're the city too busy to hate. You guys know the slogan. But it is fun on social media, and you'll see. And again, you can, or if you're debating with someone, you can go back and look at some of their texts or their comments. You know where you can pretty much have a good idea who you're talking to, right, Carl? You'd agree with me on that?
Well, look, some people are blatantly obvious. Others right try to hide behind right whatever, you know, shield that they right they think social media is. But I would just prefer you come out and tell me that. I say this to you guys all the time. I would prefer you just came out and said, man, I've never really liked Acuña. Cool.
Right.
I know where you stand. But don't try to sugarcoat it and be like, man, you know, he's really great, but we won the World Series without him.
Yeah. And we'll have a conversation here on this station, because there's other stations in this town that are too chicken blank to have this conversation, because they just won't. And they're not comfortable with it. And we've never shied away from anything. Now, again, it's only a racial argument, as we said, Jesse, if you make it one. I'm just simply talking about a standard between two players. If you want to call it into one that happens to be from Curacao, another one's from USA, that's on you.
Well, it's blatantly obvious, though, when all three guys that have been called out over the last 7 years are all Latin players. That's the connection. And that's not fair to Snit. And I mentioned this yesterday. I don't think Snit's racist by any stretch of the imagination. No. Okay. I said he's been around baseball 60 years of his 69.
Recommended by Hank Aaron for the job he got.
And so that's foolish. And I know enough people of color in baseball who know Snit, so I'm not even attempting to say that. What I will tell you, though, is the perception that Ender Inciarte and Marcell Ozuna and Ronald Acuna versus what we just saw is the perception. And that, whether it's fair or unfair, that's what people look at, Mike, and they go, wait a minute. He disciplined these guys. What's the commonality? This dude gets off. I don't understand that. And again, you might not see it that way, but we all see the world differently. And so that is why some people see this as, well, wait a minute, he's not punishing the white dude.
Well, again, Ronald's not here to be a leader. A couple guys hit us up saying, and here's another one. Guy says, Snit, Kelnick, Acuna are all wrong for the situation. Only one, Acuna, will never understand why what he did is wrong and bad for the team. A super talented player who doesn't step up to be the leader he needs to be, says Blake. Now, I will say this. He's not in the clubhouse to be a leader right now. I would love to see, and we've seen little signs that things maybe are changing. His willingness to, you know, to embrace speaking English in interviews and to take that responsibility. Because I know guys feel awkward. You never want to put words in your mouth. You're not comfortable with the language. I get it. In a perfect world, we'd all speak the same language. Not the way it works, guys. Sorry. But, I mean, I don't know how he's going to, when he comes this latest time back in after an injury, if Ronald does take on that mantle of leadership. It would be great. I've begged for it for him for years because he is the biggest star on the team. He is the guy that should be that guy. But some guys aren't comfortable with that role. I think Austin Riley is a bit reluctant with it. He'd rather lead by example and doing the job on the field, and that's fine because not everybody wants to get on top of the clubhouse and be that guy.
I agree. All right, your thoughts are welcome, guys. More to get to here on the Braves. We will talk about the NBA playoffs as well. Mike finished the show yesterday talking about Nico Harrison. He's the general manager of the Mavericks. He did a presser yesterday, now that the season's over, and everybody around the country is like, what did he just say? It was the dumbest thing that any general manager could ever say, especially coming off the trade that he had. All right, we'll get into that as well. But when we come back, our poll speaks for itself. You say we should not trade Trae Young. We're going to talk about it next.
Carl and I were just looking at the numbers. And it is interesting to see, ever since we went to the play-in game, first time they had the play-in concept where you'd have this, 8-7, 9-10 play. It was going back to the 2020 year. We were a fifth seed the year we went to the Eastern Conference Finals, talking about the Atlanta Hawks who moved on from Landry Fields yesterday. And they will be searching for a new honcho to run the basketball program. But it is interesting that if you're looking for why the GM got, and I know that Chris Thomas last night working on the night show was saying that, you know, maybe Landry Fields was just starting to figure things out. He did improve the bench. They decided to get the best they could for DeAndre Hunter, but he's also been part of 7th, 10th, 9th, Carl. And we've been in the play-in 4 years in a row.
That's the issue. And look, I respect everybody who went and voted at Dukes and Bell 929 because we love your interaction. 65% of you said yes. No, we shouldn't trade Trey. 35% of you said no. Or yes. Check that. Reverse it. Mike, here's my issue with this. Trey led the league in assists, right?
Right.
He also led the league in turnovers. How many winning plays does he make when it matters most? Also, when the game's on the line, and I know he's hit a lot of game winners. Do not get me wrong on this. But, Mike, I'm watching these playoffs, and I'm seeing guys like Cade Cunningham and SGA, just bigger guys.
Right.
Being able to get guys off of them, get shots off, not dribbling 45 feet away from the basket, and then pulling up for a jumper that everybody goes, don't shoot it!
Right.
I think that sometimes the numbers are misleading. And if this is just an emotional thing for you and you go, man, Trey's been great. Mike has said it. It's not his fault. I've said it. It's not his fault. The team has not done a great job of building around him. But at the end of the day, my question remains, can you win with him? Regardless of what pieces you have around him. And Mike just said 4 years in the play-in. Now, I get it. He played 1 year with G League guys
right.
2 years ago, right? I understand that. But Mike, at some point, your star should be able to elevate you and at least get you past where we've been. And that necessarily hasn't happened. And part of that is because I don't know, Mike, if we can win with him. And that's the big question the Hawks are going to have to ask themselves before they cut a check for $229 million and a four-year extension, if in fact they're going to do it. So for everybody that says, hey, there's no way we should trade him, we cannot be afraid of what happens moving forward when you look at other teams, and Mike has brought this up as well. My partner's been on this. Detroit, Oklahoma City. Look at the teams that have all of a sudden now elevated, and it looks like both of those teams, whether they win the series or the championship or not, Mike, they're set for 5, 6, 7 years with the core guys that they have. That is something that I think the Hawks are going to have to look at as well. Do I love Trey? Yes. I think he's given us his all. But I also feel like, Mike, we're at a juncture in the crossroads here,
right,
where you're about to decide on a big, big moment. And if you do 4 years, 229, or if he's a supermax guy and you do 5 years, 345, you better have everything else in place and know that we're making championship runs over the next 5 years. We're not doing that.
Well, and there's also the owner and how he approaches this. You know, Trey, he's got another year, and then you said it yesterday, Trey can opt out. Trey can be gone, and you get nothing. So basically, you either got to commit to Trey in the big picture that you were going to get a general – and the general manager and the vision of the owner. Has the owner's opinion of Trey changed, right? Because we were of the impression in the Athletic article, was that 2 years, two and a half years?
Two.
Came out that said that Wrestler's son was a huge fan of Trey, and that the cabal of guys that he had kind of getting his ear about how they're going to run the team. That's why Landry Fields kind of took a leadership role, because Schlenk would not sign off on trading for DeJounte Murray. Remember, guys, we get beat by the Heat in five, and instead of just getting more players for Trey to pass the ball to, they decide it's a better idea to get another point guard in here. And then we can debate whether Trey ever sold out completely into the concept, which he didn't. Nate gets fired, and then we're on to another coach and another couple of years of playing. So two things. Does the owner change his mind about Trey, to your point, and say, I cannot win. I've got this guy that you say is so great, and here we are playing. Then on the other side, does he say, or I get a general manager who really knows what he's doing, and we finally get the star player to accompany Trey, because nobody who's won the NBA final, with a few possible exceptions of Joker and Murray, or maybe the Claw in Toronto, you got to have either a tremendous supporting cast, or you got to have that superstar next to you.
Superstar, yeah. And that is the other part of this. Like, I just feel like what you're seeing around the league, guys, and there are numerous examples of teams that are being built without this element of what we thought 15 years ago, we got to get our big three. No, you don't. You don't. Boston wasn't built that way, by the way. They didn't go out and acquire their big three. Horford, right, free agent, went there. Trade, Porzingis. Jaylen Brown drafted. Tatum drafted.
Right.
That there's ways, yeah, of going about this that you don't have to go out and acquire the biggest market free agent. And I think that's the Hawks' plan, Mike, by the way. I don't think that's what they want to do when you talk about, hey, how are we going to get over the luxury tax? Let's go get a bum like, I don't know, Bradley Beal,
right,
and pay him. What happened with the Phoenix Suns? They went and got KD and Bradley Beal. They didn't even make the play-in. So you have to really think about how you want to construct your team. But the main thing is whether or not you feel like, hey, Trey is the mainstay. We just got to figure out what we need to do around him.
Right. And the other aspect of this, I should have said three options, because if you're the owner, if you are a wrestler, the pushback, as you said, two-thirds of our audience say you cannot trade Trey. And guys, you know, we get these conversations. People get very passionate. People, you know, lock on to their stars, and I get that. That's why you're a sports fan. Some people, that's their guy, and they feel that Trey is put upon. Trey gets disrespected by coaches around the league, by sometimes even competitors when it comes to the All-Star balloting. But he's never going to build his brand. See, if I'm Trey Young, I'm saying, get me the hell out of here. If I'm Trey Young, I'm opting out. I'm actually saying now, why don't you trade me now? We can do something. You do for me, I'll do for you. Get me the hell out of here. Because you're never going to get into any apron of the luxury tax, which Wrestler is never going to do. Can we just call it what it is? Wrestler is never going to spend more money than he has to. And I'm sorry, I'll go toe-to-toe with any Hawks executive that wants to call, when they get hired, wants to call in and talk about this. Because, I mean, to me, it's the ultimate insult to a loyal fan base. We're stuck in a rut. How do you get out of it? You're never going to get better until you have established players. Well, I can't get I can't. It gets me into the apron, which nobody understands in the freaking first place.
No, we don't.
And nobody wants to hear a guy who's richer than Arthur Blank cry poverty.
These aprons, by the way, they're different tiers. And the higher the tier, the more you pay. Phoenix Suns are in the highest tier. They're stuck. They have to dismantle the team.
And look, if you win.
To get back to finding a solution or rebuilding. We're nowhere near that. We got $50 million to spend, Mike, and we're not even in the first apron. So when you start talking about, like, and part of the moves that we've made, oh, by the way, have been cost-cutting moves, whether it was Red Velvet, right, whether it's DeAndre Hunter, part of that was cost-cutting. So to your point, right, yes, you've got good players, but you've also not invested fully and wholeheartedly in some of the moves that you probably should have.
Now, I'm sorry to cut you off. The thing I was going to say is, you know, you look around the league, unless you're going to go all in. If you go all in, it's like the wheel spins round and you hit. That's what we're talking about. Like, I just watched the Celtics City 2008, man.
They
make this
in.
Unbelievable trade to get Kevin Garnett. You know, they go get Ray Allen. They've already got Pierce. They got Kendrick Perkins.
They felt they were close.
They got Rondo.
Yep.
It's amazing. They didn't win more. You know, take a look at that. But we talked about, I mentioned Toronto. Toronto had a small window with Kawhi Leonard. They got it, right? But now you look and you say, okay, where are we? Where are we in the pecking order? Why can't we do what the Knicks are doing, right? Why can't we go and invest? Why don't we go spend some more money? Where are we in this NBA? And as I come back to it, Carl, as a fan, all right, what are we going to do? You going to go get Naz Reid? Get a big man? Going to spend the money on that?
Naz is nice.
That's just an idea, because I know we're not looking for super-duper stars, but that's going to start adding up. Okay, who else you want? Who else you going to bring in here? You want to go get another shooting guard like a Tim Hardaway Jr.? That's a nice depth piece with what we've got.
Yeah, Hardaway didn't give him anything, though, last night. I'm sorry. But look, he's been here. We've done that. Hardaway was here for a second, right? Then went to the Mavs. Now he's become this journeyman. He's with Detroit. But I hear you. That kind of thing. Here's what we have to do, Mike.
And I mean, Duncan Robinson, we just saw what he did for the Heat.
Absolutely.
You're not going to get, you said earlier, you're not going to get a Bradley Beal you wouldn't want him anyway, or a Paul George. But you got to go. But at some point, it can't just simply be to this limit and not a penny over. Fans don't want to hear that.
So Ryan Mann hits me up and put him up, C. Dukes, and he says he elevated Dyson. Okay, hold on. I'm going to discuss that. Rishashe is going to be a better player next year. Do agree with you there. He's not the best point guard. He's talking about Trey. This is Ryan. Clearly he's not the best point guard, but he's our point guard. Did you grab your chest when you did that?
Right.
We haven't complimented him, meaning Trae Young, since the Eastern Conference Finals. Ryan, Mike, and I have screamed this. And I will tell you now, behind the scenes, at the time, they had a general manager who wanted to make changes. Mm. The owner wanted to run it back. And we did. And then it went all downhill from there. So you're right. Let me say this about Dyson Daniels. He elevated Trae. Dyson Daniels' defense took a lot of pressure off of Trae Young and the criticism he's gotten over the years about how he lacks defensively, because Dyson was leading the league in steals. He was setting up easy buckets for guys, including Trae, and starting offenses, okay, because of his activity defensively. I'm willing to tell you Dyson elevated Trae and helped him this year more than Trae helped Dyson Daniels. Either way, Mike, this is what I think. You're naming all these guys. Rishashe has got to get better. Dyson is 22. He's got to get better. We haven't even peaked with Jalen Johnson. He's got to get better. What I'm telling you is this is also a similar thing to what we're hearing about the Falcons and the guys we drafted last year with Bryce and Rook. Those guys have to play and get better.
But again, are you going to augment that by spending some money? Yes, you've got to. And as everyone likes to point out, we've got a nice young core. Okay, great. Great. A nice young core, which right now, as is presently constituted, even with Jalen Johnson, is what? The eighth seed again. Ooh. You're in the freaking play-in again. Okay? Are you bringing back Caris LeVert? Are you going to keep your bench the way it's going to be? I mean, Niang's got one more year, so he's here for at least one more season.
I think, listen, Caris LeVert has shown you, Mike, he can handle the ball and do stuff offensively. He can just go get his shot. That is a guy I definitely want to keep.
The only reason I bring it up is because if you do trade DeAndre Hunter, you got to keep the guys you got back in return. Otherwise, you basically gave him away for nothing.
They helped us, but I also think the bench has got to get more athletic. Look, right. I love George Niang. He's a spot-up guy now.
He's the minivan.
Who's he guarding? You got to go get some guys that are athletic. That's why these other teams are so deep. The OKCs, the Detroits of the world that we're talking about. I'm telling you, this is what's going on. They got guys on the bench that can guard anybody on the floor. We don't have that. When our bench comes in, yes, it's about scoring. But, Mike, we don't D anybody up either.
No, and like there's worker bee guys. You mentioned like Solomon Hill the year we went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Guys like Bobby Portis. You know, those kind of role players.
Crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes, you know. That's what we need. We need a little edge. But, I mean, we like Rishashe. I thought you want to call that a learning experience? He was not good against the Magic, not good against the Heat. Just pretty bad. And hopefully he gets better. But in the case of the rest of the bench and how we're presently constituted, is Jalen Johnson going to be able to? Yes, you're betting on the come. Jalen Johnson has not proven you, say, for one season he played 70 games the last three. He's missed a lot of games. So that's, yes, a good core, augment it, supplement it, get some veterans in here that are established, if not superstars, and let's spend a little. Because I don't think you can do it the way that some folks have talked about, which is strictly up to the limit of the 40. Again, they didn't use the John Collins exemption. That's another one, which I bring up all the time because it happened. Mm. You had a marker and you didn't use it because the owner doesn't want to spend. That's it. Okay, like I'm excited about Atlantic Yards. I can't wait to see the finished product. But are you a real estate owner or are you an NBA owner who's committed to winning a championship?
You guys can let us know. 404-726-0929. Poll question got everybody fired up yesterday, coming off the fact that the Hawks fired and moved on from Landry Fields. So we're looking for, you know, someone else to be in charge. And again, they have a guy that is going to retain the general manager's position right now. But the new guy, I think, is going to have the main say-so. I think the new guy is going to be the overseer, Mike. And that includes, you know, player moves, phrase deal, like that individual, whoever that's going to be. And then you got your general manager in place because you do need a guy like Ansi that can right. understand what's going on day to day. But I think this new person, whoever it's going to be, that's what I think their job's going to be.
Right. Ansi Salah, guys, came over from Golden State, and he is sort of the caretaker. But as Carl said, there'll be somebody else. Real quick, we've never really done this on the show because it's too easy. It's almost like doing, Carl, give me your Mount Rushmore of Hawks. But what if Luka had not been traded? What if Luka – is Luka still here if Luka was picked? Is Schlenk still here if Luka was picked?
Well, let's just say
– this is not time for bad impression. We are asking serious questions.
let's just say that he did what he did in Dallas.
I would have lived at Mary Mac's Tea Room. Can I tell you that?
Fried chicken's good.
Love if, Kevin Rathbun.
If he did what he did in Dallas, you're talking about a first-team All-NBA right. player 5 straight years.
Right.
To answer your question, he would be here, and whoever drafted him would still be here.
And you always say it, whether it's NBA or NFL, size matters. And just a bigger guy creates a shot. Now we can debate whatever the hell. Like, Nico, well, you're going to play that Nico Harrison audio coming up. But, I mean, it's one of those where the great Atlanta what-ifs. I know there are so many folks that are married to the idea of Trey. Just saying, would you be as warm and fuzzy right now, imagine if Luka was doing the things he's done here? Again, why do you play drums? It's a serious question. Love Atlanta.
By the way, I said earlier in the show,
Fat Mats, I'd be living there. They need more napkins at Fat Mats, if we're honest.
Ribs are delicious. It's been a minute since I've been there, Luca. Virtual Luca, that is. Hey, I said earlier in the show, like, the only way that this trade narrative changes, or at least us not discussing what's going on with our Hawks, is if we were to, you know, get the first pick.
Right.
It was tongue-in-cheek. But let me be clear, because I have people hit me up. You know we don't get that first pick. We own the Kings pick.
Right.
Outside of the top four.
Right. Okay? Anything after four, we could keep.
Correct. So I just want to be clear. Even if that was to happen, it would be news, but it would be like typical Hawks. Because we get it, somehow we find a way to get the first pick. Right. And we wouldn't be able to retain it. So bottom line is, anything 1, 2, 3, or 4, Sacramento, they keep it. Okay?
Right.
That's fine.
A couple right. guys say, nice young core means nothing, Croft. You're skipping leg day. Another guy says, I think that's from Brandon Caldwell. Rhea says, I think Luka leaves the Hawks 3 years ago if he would have came here. We don't know.
All right, coming up, man. Ross Tucker next.